The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Rockets with the win, and ESPN keeps showing. It is so unbelievable that Kevin Durant was not called out of bounds. He had both feet out of bounds. I mean, like 3 feet out of bounds. And threw the ball back in, and Steph Curry hit the shot that put them up by two. Well, how much time was left? It was in less than 30 seconds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the game-winning shot before James Harden.
Less than 30. It was less than 10.
Yeah. James Harden put up this unbelievable, probably the most unbelievable game-winning shot I've ever seen. Falling down with two guys on him. The stats say the Rockets hit 21 threes. 15 of them were contested. They hit 15 threes in the second. They were 15 of 31 in the second half on threes. 6 for 23 in the first half. When the Warriors built their 20-point lead, they were 156-1 with a 20-point lead. Now they're 156-2. The Rockets in the first half were 4 of 12 off passes, three-point field goals off passes. In the second half, 9 of 14.
It's weird to say they were trading threes with twos with the Warriors, because we know the Warriors for a three-point shooting team, but in the second half, I mean, I didn't know the numbers, but you felt that onslaught and what the Rocks were doing, because the Warriors were pretty damn efficient in the second half too, but it was just that, not as good as they were in the first half, but it was just that the Rockets kept coming. And shot after shot, they would trade two threes for a Warriors layup. And the math, as we always talk about, got them back in the game, and then the best player currently in the game got them home.
They shot 54 threes. They've done that five times this season. What do you think their record is?
Are they? I'm assuming it's 5-0. I'm going to go 4-1.
4-1.
Yeah.
They're 4-1 when they shoot 54 threes. James himself shot 23 threes. There have been 108 instances this season in which an entire team did not attempt 23 threes. That's their game, obviously. But they were beating them, and it wasn't like the Warriors didn't contest them. They made 15 of their 21 threes contested, and they were 11 of 24 in the second half on contested threes. So, I mean, all of these things are, you know, obviously unbelievable. James Harden, just unfreaking believable.
And after you look at the numbers, and you couldn't tell because, well, he's on his way to 44 points, but 13 to 32. It's not going to help his shooting percentage any. Threes he was great. 10 out of 23, 8 for 9 for the free throw line. But it felt like everything he did late was the most important. And it was, because they were trying to come back. I mean, inside the game, you're not thinking 13 for 32. You're thinking he's having this great night. 13 for 32 normally would be, all right, you're just shooting the damn ball too much. That's an Allen Iverson night.
Yeah.
But Allen Iverson won the MVP doing this. And James kind of does a different way because he's taking a lot of perimeter shots. But, I mean, watching him play, the numbers don't speak to how effective and dominant he can be. Because those threes are like daggers. And when you couple them with the night that guys like Austin Rivers had, 4-9 for 3, Joe Green didn't have a great night shooting but made a couple big ones. It all combines for helping the Rockets win, I think, the best game of the year. It had controversy. It had the team who got screwed overcoming that controversy when the best player makes a shot. And it had a last-second shot, a desperation heave that didn't go in for the Warriors. It had everything.
What if, and somebody asked this on Twitter, what if James didn't make that shot and they lost that game?
Well, there'd be hell to... Well, what's the NBA going to do? They're going to, we screwed up. That's all they can say. It doesn't help the Rockets.
I would imagine you could... I would protest that one. I mean, that was...
So what happens? The game was tied at the time.
They have gone back. Yes, you would go back to that amount of time on the clock and play it from there.
I've seen that happen. I think it was
Heat. Shaq was in a game once that was protested, and...
I think the Heat and the Hawks played a game like that as well, where it was protested, so they finished... So the next time they're, I think, either in the venue, mm-hmm. The Heat and Hawks played again. I don't know if it mattered where they were. They finished the game and then played the next game. So I've seen it in recent memory. I guess they could do it. Would they wait for the next time they're in Oakland, or would they do it in Houston? How does that work if you protest again?
They would do it in Oakland, I would imagine. But neither here nor there now. The Heat protested a game against Atlanta. Atlanta had a scoring error.
Yeah, that's what it was.
In the game. Shaquille O'Neal was involved in that. Yeah. So I would imagine that you would have had a very good, I don't know. Is that protestable? I don't know.
That's the other thing. It appears it feels that's not a scoring error. That's an official, that's a referee,
but
error. Can you protest when referees make bad calls?
That's so egregious. If James missed that shot,
we'd be talking about how the referee screwed the Rockets.
That's all you would be talking about. And that wasn't even, it's not even arguable.
But when a referee misses an out-of-bounds call, like it goes off the guy's hand, and they don't... Well, we don't have enough evidence, but everyone can...
I wonder why they didn't look at that.
I guess it's not reviewable, I guess.
Why? Every out-of-bounds call is reviewable.
I'm saying I guess. I have no idea why that's not
I wonder
reviewable
why
call.
They didn't go back and after the timeout and go, wait a minute.
Can you... Once you... Because the play continued. Because I know when out of bounds plays are reviewed, is because the clock is stopped. You can go back and look at it.
That was an out of bounds play.
I know, but the play didn't stop. A shot was made. I don't know. If the only difference is because there was no whistle blown, the play continued. You can't go back.
If there is no whistle, you can't go look.
Because anytime they review an out of bounds play, it's because the clock has been stopped. It's not because
clock was stopped afterwards. They had a timeout after.
Well, the play had continued, so is that the only reason that you can't review it?
Maybe.
Because even on goaltends, like they'll go back and review three-pointers,
right,
even though the play has continued.
Right.
If you step on the line or you're not on the line. So why is that any different?
I don't know.
I guess because they would change a three from a three to a two or a two to a three. Why can't you take the shot off and then...
Well, like let's say a guy steps on the line, on the baseline at some point, but the refs missed that.
They're not going to go back.
They're not going to go back and change that. So that,
I guess maybe that's the same deal.
That's the thought here. But wow, you can millimeters, the ball flicks off of your fingertip.
They'll review it.
And they'll review it. And that they won't.
I don't know the rule. I don't know why the rules are set up that way.
If you haven't seen it yet, you have got to see Kevin Durant out of bounds, throwing the ball back in. It is the most egregious missed call, and I think we say this every game we watch.
We always say it's the most egregious thing we've ever seen, but this one is awful.
This one is the worst. I don't remember a worse call.
It's not his foot the same. He's not hit the bottom of his shoe the same color as the out of bounds line, and he stepped on. You can't tell. He is fully 2 feet are out of bounds. He's on the ground.
3 feet out of bounds.
2 feet. His 2 feet are 3 feet out of bounds while he's trying to save a basketball. He's not up in the air. He is on the ground tossing it. And you don't, and you miss it.
Two refs staring at him. One from straight ahead, and one is on the baseline. Pardon me?
Oh, he's just talking about John Clay Wolf.
Oh, John Clay Wolf, are you going to call him?
He tried. He's not here. You know, John, it's the beginning of the year. John's not answering.
John Clay Wolf didn't answer? Can you go wake him up?
I don't know where he lives in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Is there any chance you could call his wife? Do you have his wife's number?
I don't.
If he had his wife's number, we're having a different conversation.
This is a problem, Michael. Yeah. If you have John Clay Wolf's
I don't have number. His wife's number, and I call him like 3 times a week.
Let's see if Gilbert's up, though. Hey, Gilbert, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, anyway?
Oh. What are you doing this morning?
I'm trying to stay warm anyway. It's cold outside.
It is cold. Oh, you're outside?
Gilbert.
I can't get back up from the store. It's cold out there anyway.
It's cold out there anyway.
What did you get at the store? Yeah.
What'd you have to go get?
Get some bread for my mom anyway.
What?
Bread.
Bread? Oh, nice.
Did you get anything else for yourself? Did you keep the change and get something for yourself?
Did you get some candy?
Yeah, I got me some popcorn.
You got popcorn? Nice. That's a good
point. Yeah, well, hey, when you got my VVD ready yet?
Does Wendy have your what?
DVD ready anyway.
You want a DVD of Wendy? Doing what?
No. Dave Ward special on TV. Hello, friends. I'm Dave Ward anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Gilbert, DVD. Gilbert. Get that one on the news.
That's what you want?
Let me ask you a question, Gilbert.
Wendy said she'd get it for me anyway.
She did? Yeah. Was a mistake for her to say that.
Yeah, if Wendy gave you the option, a DVD of her just sitting and working, like someone filmed her for like 8 hours, would you take that or the Dave Ward DVD?
Dave Ward DVD.
Okay, so he's not as creepy as I thought.
Listen, Doctor.
DVD like Dave Ward anyway, the history of how it was. I watched him a little kid anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Dying for dollars.
Right, Dialing for Dollars, yeah. Dave Ward.
Yeah, Dave Ward was hosting that when I was back in 66 anyway, you know.
I know, right?
Yeah, anyway.
Has Wendy talked about getting him that DVD?
I don't know. So Dr. Dre was at the Christmas party and he saw you?
Who?
His name is Dr. Dre on 290. And he said, my wife just said she thought Gilbert was black. Had to show her the picture when you met Holly. You remember meeting Holly at the Christmas party?
He remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Dr. Dre's wife, she hears you on the radio and she thinks you're black.
That's insulting.
I'm black. I'm Chinese.
Well, we know that, Gilbert. Someone thought your voice sounded black.
Yeah, you sound like a black guy.
No, I don't sound like a black man anyway.
You don't?
Gilbert, what do you think a black man...
I don't anyway.
Gilbert, what do you think a black man sounds like?
Don't.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Voice.
No.
Deep voice. He said a deep voice.
Deep voice?
Do you have an impression of a black guy?
No.
No.
He's too smart for me.
Gilbert just outsmarted you.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll tell you something about you.
We're laughing at this morning. You know, we can give you back Monday?
I hope so, but he's
Hope the Texans win. I'm not worried about the Texans. I'm worried about the Chargers.
I know you're
Little River's gonna go all the way this year anyway.
Yeah, you're a Charger fan, remember? Anyway.
Yeah, we need with Patricia Charger being gonna play this weekend anyway. Charger
Baltimore. They're playing Baltimore. I like Baltimore in that one, Gilbert, but I'm gonna root for the Chargers for you because you like the Chargers, right?
Yeah, I don't think the Baltimore got a good defense anyway.
Yeah, I just don't know who they're playing.
Who's your favorite player on the Chargers, Gilbert?
Little Rivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
He is a really good player.
He is a good player. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, what happened to the Rockets last night? They won last night.
I know. Did you stay up and watch it?
I fell asleep anyway.
You did? You fell asleep and then you woke up?
I liked that between Inside Edition. I love Deborah Norville anyway.
Uh-oh.
That's not surprising.
Uh-oh. Deborah Norville's in trouble.
Deborah Norville, you love her? She's been on TV a long time, Gilbert.
Yeah, she has.
Yeah, I remember that anyway.
You love long time.
Yeah. You know that Daryl died the other day anyway.
Who?
Captain Tennille, husband anyway, died.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he died yesterday.
Oh, no.
Gilbert, can you sing your favorite Captain and Tennille song?
Do that that to me one more time.
What about Muskrat?
Kiss me like you just did.
Yeah. What about Muskrat Love?
Do that to me one more time.
Let him go, John.
Oh.
I like that song anyway.
Yeah.
It sounds like
it. No, you do. I know. Well, all right, Gilbert, we're going to let you go. Thanks. I thought we got to tell Dr. Dre's wife that you're not black, right?
Yeah, I'm not black.
Yeah, he's not black. He's Chinese.
Yeah, he's Chinese and he's not black.
No, he's not black. He's Chinese.
He adds a little extra to it. What, man? I ain't black.
What? What? What you talking about, woman?
someone brought up how come KD didn't do the whole, it was out on me, coach. It was out on me. And what would Draymond do if KD went up to the refs and said, nah, it was on me.
All right, 8:16. Thank you, Gilbert. ESPN 97.5. Gilbert was awake. GiveMeTheVin.com is what we're talking about right now. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. Thankfully, Michael didn't have his wife's number. I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for a way to sell that vehicle, if you don't go to GiveMeTheVin.com, then I just can't help you. I just don't get it. You don't want as much. You know what you're doing. You're just throwing money away. And in some instances, you could be throwing like hundreds, a thousand or more away. Because the dealerships are going to try to work you as hard as possible. What they do is they give you as little as they possibly can for that trade-in. And then they mark it up, and that's where they make their money. Of course, they've got all kinds of ways on new cars to give you discounts. They're going to give you that discount anyway. So where they make the money is, well, they'll say, well, we can only give you this much for your trade-in, but we'll give you off on this new one. Look, you're saving money over here. Bam, bam, bing. How about making money on your trade-in and saving on that new one as well? You can do both at GiveMeTheVin.com, because John Clay Wolf will do the deal right through your dealership. So all the taxes and all that stuff, they go all together. He is amazing. And if he can't beat CarMax's or Texas Direct, their price, then he's going to give you $100. Right now at GiveMeTheVin.com, that's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 822. John and Dell, along with Michael. No Lance. He's got horrible rotten pegs, and he can't come in because he hasn't brushed his teeth in a couple of years. Maybe ever, because he didn't have a dentist before yesterday. So not sure that Lance ever, we can't be sure he's ever brushed his teeth.
I've seen that mouth. I would venture on the side of no brushing at all.
Yeah.
Certainly no flossing.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if Lance is back tomorrow. We had to sit through Monday. We had to sit through the back and forth text messages about how much it hurt. And I don't
me.
And I'm taking the perks and I don't know and I got a deadline
Molly Perkins
for the job I care about more, the NFL.com job, blah 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 blah. All we know is he's not here.
No, and he's a day behind now, so his whole life is ruined.
So now he might have to come in, and maybe his wife has to pick him up, and because he's still going to be on perks.
How about just look at a guy a couple of plays and then fake it?
That's what he does anyway, right? Yeah,
I don't know. He's like, I spent 7 hours on this guy. Why?
And I'm a day behind now, so I still got to work.
And you're going to be four rounds off on him.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're going to be wrong where he's drafted anyway, so
right.
Why do you care?
Just put whatever. Take a paycheck, like the rest of us.
Yeah. What are you putting an effort for? No one's going to remember that you were wrong, except for like two guys.
Yeah, no. Why do you think he's on the Dan Patrick show every year? Right?
That is true. NFL players are petty. That is true.
That is true. I mean, they put him on that. This is what Lance Zierlein wrote about you when you were coming out. Oh, thanks.
And those are supposed to be his boys.
Every guy in the NFL, every young player hates Lance. Oh, you don't tell them about the 20 good things I said about him. Okay. Coach Doc is here. Wants to talk about that play, that Kevin Durant play. What do you say, Coach Doc?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, okay. I was listening to you guys, and you guys were asking why couldn't they go back and review the play.
Well, right, because there was no whistle.
Yes. Well, it's not so much that it wasn't a whistle, and then again it was. It is what is called a point of interruption. There was no interruption of the play. What it was, the C official let the trail official, not the trail official, I'm sorry, the lead official, that was his call. The lead official, that was his call. So the C official, which area had a better view of it happening, he was probably letting the lead official make his call. Well, when the lead official didn't make his call, because that was in his area, he decided, okay, I'm going to let it keep going and hope for the best. Now, when the play did happen and he scored, there was no going back because there was no point of interruption.
Yeah. No whistle.
You understand?
No, yeah, right. Yeah. No whistle. So,
yeah, okay.
So, here's the deal, though. Okay, I get that. There's pictures of baseline ref looking right at it, sideline ref also looking, and he was out of bounds on both the sideline and the baseline, and yet no call. And I get that. I get that. If I'm across on the other side, three refs, and they form a triangle, if I'm across on the other side, I can see this. Everyone in the arena saw this. So I understand that you let the main guy or the baseline guy make that call. But if he doesn't, somebody, ref, you got to pick each other up. Somebody's got to make that call.
And that's where I'm going with this next. You have some officials that don't want you to blow the whistle in their area. I've seen where, you know, I've been in a meeting and you have an official tell another official, maybe that official is a younger official than he. You're telling, you know, if you don't blow in my area, I don't want you blowing in my area. Let me live and die with my call. So if he doesn't make that call, he letting them live and die with his call. Yes, it affects the whole group.
But don't you
the whole group of officials.
And I guess so that's a lot of that is ego, Coach. A lot of that is I don't want you making a call, but here's the deal: is they all look bad, you know?
Yes.
They all look bad today. And if I'm the league, and oh by the way, you're going to pick up playoff games if you're if you grade out, if you're better, you're going to get bigger games and whatnot. If I'm the league, I don't know how I can let that call and that group not in some way, shape, or form be sanctioned. Lose a game or whatever it is. I know they may not come out with it, a suspension, you know, and say it, but they've got to do something to that crew.
Yeah, you would say just, hey, you're going to miss a certain amount of time. I mean, I get you don't want to embarrass your guys, but
you don't announce it publicly.
Yeah,
but you give that crew a week off and say, guys, this can't happen.
And we don't know. I mean, we'd have to go back into the game log to find out the names of the officials. So, yeah, you could just set them aside for – I don't think there are any of the famous ones that we recognize. You set them aside for a week or however long and say, all right, you guys screwed up. We're not going to embarrass you, but you're missing some time.
That's bad for the league.
It's awful. Luckily, the team who got screwed found a way to win because the best player in the game right now made a ridiculous shot. But it shouldn't take that. The Rockets should have had the ball with a chance to win without worrying about losing.
I'm going to look in the box score at these guys.
Are you going to call them out, John?
I'm calling their name. Yeah, I want to call them out. I'm going to give their home numbers. Okay? Well, I'm going to give their home numbers out when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
When you had the late save in bounds, did you know how far out of bounds you were?
Yeah.
Could you believe you didn't get the whistle?
I could believe it because the refs missed a lot of that tonight. They missed a lot in general, so you can easily fool them.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah.
That was Kevin Durant after the game. He said, yeah, he was hard to hear, but he said, yeah, I could believe that they missed that call because they missed a lot of calls. Will he get fined for that?
I think the NBA should just stay away from this game. Don't draw any more attention to it. Don't find Kevin Durant.
Was that the best game of the year?
I mean, we're saying that because it's recency. It might be recency bias. I haven't seen every great game, but all the things that go into it. We love, despite it happening to the Rockets, they came out on top. You love controversy. There was controversy. You had the two finalists from last year's Western Conference Finals in the game. They went back and forth. There was a big lead blown at home by the defending champs. And the Rockets, with the guy on one of the greater runs that we've ever seen, closes the deal. I don't know if there has been one, a better game this year. I'm going to doubt it, and I would be surprised if there's a better game this year the rest of the way.
Yeah. It had everything. Tied it up late on a three. Overtime. Controversy. Hit that shot, then hit a game winner for justice, actually. So it had everything. You have a problem with Spurs fans booing Kawhi Leonard?
It was the traitor stuff, it's a word at a free throw line. That's aggressive. I don't care about the bullying. I mean, they're fans, you can do what you want. Kawhi doesn't care. He's like a robot anyway, except when he laughs. I think the traitor thing is like, how is he a traitor? It's not like he joined the Lakers. He got traded. Now, things weren't working out. And snake in the grass, there's a sign there. Actually, just snake, not even snake in the grass. I think Spurs fans are being aggressive. But that's their right.
I was listening this morning. Golic had an argument about it. The young Golic thought it was stupid that you're booing a guy who was an NBA Finals MVP for you. And the older Golic didn't seem to care. I'm with you. I don't care what that you boo him. It's a little surprising, though. I know he did have some things to say. He didn't want to be there.
No,
and when you don't want to be,
that hurts people.
Yeah, that hurts people's feelings.
They're going to say, hey, we supported you. And if I'm Kawhi, yeah, you support anyone wearing this jersey. If I was wearing another, we're not friends. If I was wearing a Lakers jersey my entire career, you wouldn't be supporting me. I just happened to be drafted here. And you guys love me, but you guys love anyone in a Spurs jersey unless they come out and do something, I guess, like he did, and I want to leave. That whole we were loyal to you thing, that's garbage. That doesn't mean anything. They happen to wear the jersey of the team you love, so you're going to root for him. But if he steps out of line, like he did, I guess, you turn on him really quickly. That's just what we as fans do.
The other Gilbert sent... this is that joke of a crew. Goble, Brown, and Maddox. 36 and 73 are their numbers. Goble, Brown, and Maddox. So those are the guys. If you want to call them, try and find their numbers. Just get their numbers and call their homes.
That's aggressive, John.
Wake them up. Do something.
They're probably on the way to another city. They're probably in a hotel right now.
They probably are.
They probably are not home. You're just wasting time calling their homes.
Maybe you wake up their wife or kids. I don't care.
What?
I mean, somebody deserves to have a phone call about this.
You're kind of a terrible person, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't mind saying it. Not one bit. The Kawhi thing was interesting. When you don't want to be in that city, if you have any kind of disparagement or you just don't want to be there anymore, that we booed Carlos Beltran every time. It was amazing to me. I'm like, what? He was here for a summer, and then he left because the Mets gave him $100 million. Why are you booing him? It's not like Kawhi was there and was an MVP of the NBA Finals, and I get it. He was such a more diva-ish, that or what Antonio Brown did?
Brown... Well, Kawhi pretty much said, I'm not playing a whole season. And he said, I'm not healthy. And then you guys, I guess he would say the Spurs betrayed him. So that's why he didn't want to play. it's weird because we know Antonio Brown has a reputation. Getting into a fight with Ben Roethlisberger during practice.
And then not showing up.
Yeah, not showing up for practice.
In all fairness, Antonio doesn't show up a lot of times. So this is not something that's really...
I was going to play on Sunday. You know I don't show up for practice sometimes. Yeah. What's the big deal? It happens all the time. You let me play. Why is this the breaking point?
And there's so much talk about this, Pittsburgh. I'm of the opinion this is a Tomlin deal. This is a Mike Tomlin problem.
It'll eventually fall to Mike Tomlin if it doesn't get worked out. Because if they lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown the same offseason, it's not that the Le'Veon Bell thing is his fault, but it'll just fall. You don't make the playoffs. It'll fall on him if Antonio Brown has to go because it got too far out of hand.
You know, there's an inordinate amount of African American NFL coaches that were fired this offseason, and you know they were pretty. I don't know that you can't fire Tomlin right now and look good, but. Listen, did you hear the Dana Holgorsen press conference yesterday?
I know he mentioned you.
Yeah, he mentioned me, but it was, there was a guy that just stood up in the middle while the media was asking questions. We don't have a microphone over here, but I want to know why there was no African Americans that were interviewed for this job. And then afterwards, the news, I saw Channel 13 did a story with the guy, and he said, 3 days, that's not enough time. You know, there were 3 days. That you were interviewing guys and they didn't interview any African Americans. Well, Chris Pesman said, whoa, let me take this, because he directed this attack at Tillman and Dr. Couture, and Tillman had a great soundbite that said, we don't care what color you are, black, white, if you're Chinese, if you're Indian, we don't care. And they hired Kevin Sumlin under Dr. Couture's reign.
I get what she was there when Sumlin got hired?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember the timeline when she got her job. I get what you're saying, and Tillman, that's a great quote and all, but it'll fall on deaf ears, particularly when you look at college football and you look at how it's built. Guys, and predominantly white guys, make a lot of money off the skills of predominantly black players.
Right.
And it's just much like the NFL right now, disproportionate in terms of compare the number of players who make up college football and the number of black head coaches. It's disproportionate. So if you can throw that out there and say, we don't care, but really it was about you saw your guy, you identified him, and you got him. It's not like you actually went out and I get your, what Tillman said. Hey, if there was a call, if the guy we liked happened to be black, we would hire him. I get that's what he's saying, but it'll fall on death. It'll sound like a trite soundbite when it continues to go that way as far as black head coaches.
Well, there is a lot of, you know, regurgitation going on as far you're just using the same head coaches or the same guys are trading jobs and whatnot and making all this money. I get that. Chris Pesman said, listen, I can't tell you who I talked to because it would jeopardize their jobs, their current jobs.
Yeah.
So, but I can tell you, and in this day and age, I don't think that it's even. You almost have to. You have to go out and look. I will tell you this: I was with a white coach last night that is jobless right now, and he's jobless in large part because he's white. He is a great coach, a great offensive mind, and he can't find work. And he has been told numerous times, if you were black, I could hire you. I can't hire you.
And to speak to that a little bit, with Miami going through their hiring process after Manny Diaz, who happens to be Cuban, after they hired him, there's some talk on the message boards about you better, because currently there are no African, there's one African-American coach, Mike Rumpf, who's a former coordinator there. There are people in the community saying, there better be more representation because all the players you're going to recruit from South Florida are going to be black kids. We're not going to send them to your school if we look out and see a bunch of white guys coaching them.
Yeah. No, you almost have to. And it makes sense. And, oh, by the way, you know, walking into a living room, you know, you definitely want to see representation. If you're a kid, if you're the parents, hey, I do. I want to say. And you know what? It only makes sense. But there is a lot of, while I can certainly see the point, there's also there's a reverse racial issue going on as well. For all those white that qualified white coaches that can't get jobs because of their color of their skin.
I jokingly say you might need to take that L. I mean, I don't want to say that to a man who's out of work, but for some people, hey man, you've had pretty much every advantage you could imagine. Take the L. But I don't want to say it. Well, if you're out of work, you're out of work. That hurts.
Listen, if you tell that coach.
That's what I'm saying.
Tell that coach that he's had every advantage.
I know.
Because his kids are sleeping on a floor.
I get what you're saying. That's like I said. That's why I joke about that. But this is a more serious thing. You're talking about a guy's livelihood. But some people would say, "Hey, man, you hold that L for this one."
Yep.
And then that's kind of an unsympathetic thing to say.
844 ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Bring this up. All right, 847 ESPN 97.5. By the way, and we got a call here about the coaching hires. I got a... an African-American coach buddy who said, I know one African-American coach he didn't call, and that was me. Talking about Dana Holgorsen, he's going to join us at 9:30 right here on ESPN 97.5. He's not an African-American coach. He's a white coach. But afterwards, the dude that brought it up about the African-American coaches that weren't called, he said, you had 3 days. You know, I think they knew a lot longer that they were not bringing Major Applewhite back. You may go back to the bowl game, and they may have, you don't know the due diligence that they were doing all of that time. Now, Dana Holgorsen had an issue with his contract. He couldn't talk to any, if he did talk to anyone, he had to tell West Virginia, which he ended up doing. And so, you know, you don't know how long Chris Pesman was actually looking for a coach.
Yeah.
So you can't say it was 3 days.
I get what you're saying, but then U of H may have had one of the more leak-proof coaching searches of all time. The only name we heard about was Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah, I don't. Was it a big secret that Major was getting fired?
That's my point. If we all thought Major was getting fired, and the only name we heard about taking the job or being talked about for the job was Dana Holgorsen, that would be one of the more leak-proof. If they actually did the due diligence that they said that they're telling us that they did, they have a wonderful system because no one heard anybody else's name.
Yeah,
and that's why I find, I won't say disingenuous. It's a little bit hard to believe that you weren't locked in on Dana for a really long time. And when it could be done, you did it.
You still can be locked in, but you can make other calls.
I get what you're saying.
And as a matter of fact, John, we'll get to you in a second here. I was thinking about the Bengals possibly hiring Hugh Jackson. 3-36-1. There is absolutely no way. And the Bengals came out and said, yeah, we're going to interview Hugh Jackson. To me, that stinks of Rooney Rule. There is absolutely no chance that Hugh Jackson gets that job. But how could you possibly say in any way, shape, or form that the Bengals have any racial inclination when they had an African-American for how many years and a guy who should have been fired years and years ago?
Now, the 0-7, I think, in the playoffs is the big deal, but some people would point out exactly what were the Bengals before Marvin Lewis got there. So I know.
Well,
I know
they had years under Sam Weiss,
long time ago. Yeah.
I mean, so, but yeah, I mean, and Dr. Couture afterwards, I went and talked to her, and she was like, "This is it's kind of ridiculous. We are the most diverse university, maybe in the country. We don't look at color at all." Now that's a big job with a big money job.
Who, to your knowledge, how many decision makers actually are in on hiring the football coach at Houston? How many people actually have like a final say on this thing?
Tillman, Dr. Couture, and Chris Pesman. The three of them.
Is there one who has more power than the other?
I would say Tillman's influence is great, but Dr. Couture is going to make the final decision.
Okay, like if Tillman says this guy and the guy passes all the smell tests, he's not a complete insane person that would bring shame to the university. If Tillman's pushing him, As long as that guy fits.
Well, you know what? When you put your name and you put $50 million into a basketball arena.
That is what I'm saying.
You have a lot of push. You have a lot of sway.
As long as, long as Dana's not an axe murderer, then if Tillman wants him, Tillman's going to get him.
Probably.
Yeah. So I get the whole, all the diversity talk, and I'm not going to say you're lying because I have no reason to. But if Tillman wanted Dana and he didn't really care about anybody else, that would maybe speak to what that gentleman, whoever his name was saying about who did you really look after? Because if we're going to believe that Tillman wanted Dana, he was going to get Dana.
Right. But we don't know. Yeah.
We don't know Tillman's thought process. But if it was Dana and no one else, then it was going to be
that,
Dana.
That Chris Pesman said he did his due diligence, I'm going to believe him.
I'm not saying he's lying.
And oh, by the way. Yeah, I get it. And if I were African American, I would say, hey, there is a disproportionate amount of white coaches to the number of players that are in contributing in college football. And oh, by the way, in the interview process, you know, it helps. Even if you're giving a token interview, you already have your mind made up on some guy. That interview process for that African American is awfully important. Because he gets better at it. The more times you interview, the better you get at it. And you may get a job because of it someday.
I don't know if the U of H should have been the target. Who knows what they really did to meet. There's no real criteria in college football as far as who you have to interview. But I think it is a question that should be asked. As long as coaching searches go on, and if a guy doesn't hear an African-American's name being mentioned, I think it probably is a necessary question, at least to find out what the people who are in the hiring process were thinking when they were making their decisions.
Mm-hmm. Let's get John in here. He wants to talk about the hiring process. What do you say, John?
Yeah, I was just wondering, how come we never complained about the lack of white running backs or maybe Vietnamese kickers?
Well, because if white running backs could actually run as fast, John, then...
Okay. We take that as black running backs are better. How come we don't accept that maybe white coaches are better?
Hold on. Probably because one of them is, I guess coaching's about, I guess, analytics and I guess people like to include intelligence in that. That's why people don't take that at face value, because what you're saying is white coaches can understand the game of football better.
Because historically, John, and look at the number of white owners in the NFL. Let's go NFL. White owners tend to hire, unless they get the opportunity. White rich guys tend to know a lot of other white rich guys, tend to be more comfortable with other white men, tend to know a lot more white men, tend to want to work with, historically, and maybe it's not the case anymore, and certainly the Rooneys have helped that.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. But when you're more comfortable with a certain group, then you're going to tend to hire that certain group. And it trickles down not only to general managers, but to coaches as well. And, you know, and now the world is changing. John, you can't say that historically there hasn't been a disproportionate amount. And oh, by the way, those opportunities weren't there.
Yeah,
they just weren't there for African Americans. And if you have to force that with affirmative action, then you have to force it.
And it's pretty clear that opportunities keep coming to certain guys, and usually those guys are white coaches.
Yeah.
They get opportunity after opportunity. Apparently now Mike Munchak is a name that people love again. So that's what people take an issue with. And like I said, the thought that, I guess, if you're gonna try to push that white coaches inherently understand the game of football better, I think people are going to push back on that. And that's why people are not going to just sit and believe that white coaches are better.
Yeah. John, there is, you know what? Like I said, there's some reverse racism going on as well. Because there are white coaches out there that can't get jobs because you need. And first of all, it's good business if you want to know the truth. If you're a coach, you need African Americans on your staff to go in and convince African Americans to come to your university to play for you. And oh, by the way, you're going to be better when you have good African American players. You're going to be a better football team. That's just how it is. 8:56, Raheel's going to join us on the other. He wants to talk a lot about race. right here on ESPN. That's all he wants to talk about. Actually, it's all he ever really.
He thinks it's overstated, us talking about African American coaches. Yeah. He believes that there should be a push for Pakistanis to be coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, why are there no?
President Couture is all flexing on we're the most diverse university. Where was my interview?
You're not qualified to be a coach. You're not qualified.
Condoleezza Rice is qualified. I'm qualified.
Well, she's really.
I'm
not.
A leader. I'm a leader of men.
Which men? At the Schlitterbahn?
Yeah. Have you organized a trip with people?
Yes, I have actually, but not the Schlitterbahn.
I'm a leader of men. Jose, Cody, Michael.
You don't lead them.
You think Michael? Yeah. Yeah, Michael doesn't follow you.
He doesn't follow you.
He does.
No.
Michael, do I lead you? Yes or no?
How many followers do you have on Twitter?
No.
Not enough.
They follow you.
He is a leader of men and women, actually, because they Twitter. Follow him
yeah.
on Twitter.
Yeah, they follow him on Twitter. You're a leader. Yeah. Raheel on race next.
ESPN 97.5.